This is the Tech Talk for Accountants show with your host, Andrew Lassise, where every week we have a new guest to discuss the latest technology, apps, tips, and tricks to help you improve your accounting firm. This episode is brought to you by Tech for Accountants, an IT firm that specializes in cybersecurity for the small accounting firm. Many of our clients used to work at big firms that had all this crazy security and then went to work for themselves. And while they knew it was important to have great IT security, they just have too many other things to worry about and don't have enough time to actually learn this stuff. What we do is help bridge the gap so that even small accounting firms have great security at a fraction of the cost of doing it themselves, and it's all done for you. We offer listeners to the show a complimentary IT audit and consultation. Just go to tech4accountants.net/podcast. And you can book a free IT audit. Again, that's tech4accountants.net/podcast.
And we are live from Scaling New Heights. I'm Andrew Lassise with Tech for Accountants, IT specializing in the accounting industry. With us today, Judy McCarthy from Client Hub. And they have the coolest new stuff happening in Client Hub. Give us a background and then tell me about all the new cool stuff.
Awesome. Thanks, Andrew, for having me here. So Client Hub, we are a client collaboration and internal workflow management solution built specifically for accountants by me, a recovering accountant. We are really implementing some really great ChatGPT features. We already have what we call our magic workflow. So remember, Client Hub is a workflow management solution. You can actually type in a very brief description of the work that you want to do for your clients, and ChatGPT will create a multi-level workflow. So it will give you the tasks and then details or instructions for completing that task. So we could also create the workflow and the workflow templates.
So what would be I'm sure everyone kind of has, maybe it's usually in their head what the workflow looks like, but would it just be sort of like a paragraph prompt of, I want my workflow to be when a new client comes in that we capture this? Like, what would an example be of one of the workflows it creates?
So it can be even simpler than that. We could do something, let's say you're a tax firm. If you're a tax firm and you want to create a workflow for preparing a 1040 tax return, you could simply just type into the box, prepare 1040 tax return, and it will give you all the steps for preparing that tax return, along with the instructions related to those steps.
And with GPT-4, you could also put in all of their information and get that 1040 put out,
exactly,
like,
yeah,
depending on the complexity,
exactly,
and what,
yeah,
you're going for.
Yeah. Yeah. So we haven't gotten to that level yet. We are using ChatGPT-4 or ChatGPT Turbo. I don't know which one it is. We're staying up to date with the latest versions of ChatGPT to build our solutions. Next we have coming out, so that was our first dipping our toes into the ChatGPT, the river, so to speak. Next coming up, we have what we call magic email. So Client Hub has kind of stayed away from email integration, but we are going in that direction now. We know that it's a big demand from our user base. Email integration with both Outlook 365 as well as G Suite. And you will be able to go ahead and connect up your email, and then we will allow you to generate the responses using ChatGPT or recommended responses, as well as we will be able to say, if the client asked you for something in that email, we'll be able to generate a job within the internal workflow.
So none of those, that's like the gears are going in my head. So, I mean, gosh, so frequently I will get something, and maybe it wouldn't be from a client just because my team handles most of the client things, but just a partner saying, we would like to have this created. We're trying to send this. And I mean, gosh, the amount of times where something through my own wrongdoing had gone through the cracks because it was like, I won't forget to do this. And then I do forget to do it, or I'll do like mark as unread, but then it's like my unread messages from like March 15th,
yes,
like I still haven't, yeah, attended to. And that's not an exaggeration. That's anecdotal. Like in my head, it's like, I got that toll-free number thing I've been putting off since March.
I know. And we do, I mean, email, I have to tell you that I have fought on email integration on Client Hub, because in my mind, email is still email. Doesn't matter where it is. I mean, a pig is a pig is a pig. Email is email if it's integrated with your product. But if we can take that email and do something meaningful with it, then maybe it's not so bad. And of course, when the emails will come into Client Hub, we will be able to identify if that email is from one of your clients based on their user credentials within their account. So then we're going to prioritize client emails versus all the other junk that comes into your inbox, which will be nice.
So having sort of that layer of the ones that are actually important, because I know I'm super guilty of just checking my email. I removed the Outlook shortcut from my home screen. So now I have to consciously like go through my apps to check my email. And the amount of times that it's just second nature to me now, turn on my phone, check Outlook, turn on my phone, check out. And now that the button's missing, it's like, that's right. I'm trying not to do that anymore. And I'm sure like later tonight, I'm going to check in. We're recording this on a Sunday, so it's not even like I'm probably going to get anything important, but I'm sure I will like consciously say it is time to check my email and look at it. And there will be something where I'm like, I knew I shouldn't have taken it off my phone. But having a way to prioritize those things, it's going to give you more of your time back.
Right, right. Because as accountants, our clients are the priority. And we do get sucked into that email vortex once we get into the inbox. Like, oh, great, there's a sale at whatever store, or, oh, wait, you know, Amazon, whatever big day is coming up. Let me see what they have coming on. So, yeah, so we're, you know, we're still going to have email, still going to be email, but at least we'll make it a little bit easier. My most exciting feature that we have coming out, and I was able to crash our development meeting last week, is what we call magic meetings. So we've kind of taken our GPT and coined the phrase magic for everything, because we think that GPT is awesome. It is like magic. So
like how everybody was sort of geeking out on Bitcoin, and it was like, well, what, you know, how is this real? And it's like, oh, it's decentralized. It's like, how do you trust it? Oh, it's blockchain. It's like, how do I know I can trust blockchain? It's like, because algorithms. And it's like, okay, how do I trust?
What is blockchain?
Right, yeah. Right. Well, it's like the movie Idiocracy, where they're like, oh, this, I forget what the drink is, but it's like Gatorade. And they're like, oh yeah, you water plants with Gatorade. Why would you do that? It's got electrolytes. What are electrolytes? It's what plants crave. And it's like, no, like, I think you're supposed to water plants with water. And they're like, nah, you give it Gatorade because it has electrolytes. Yeah, but what do electrolytes do? It's got what plants crave. And it's like, why do they crave it? It's blockchain. It was the same sort of thing. And Blake Oliver, he was just like, everyone that does Bitcoin and blockchain's an idiot. And then there was a gigantic crash, and I mean, right on the wall. So there was a lot of hype there, and right, there are a lot of hype and a lot of confusion. Whereas I think with ChatGPT in the mainstream, it's the confusion, like, it's so simple, and you can give a real-time demo without trying to conceptualize, like with blockchain and Bitcoin,
exactly, yeah,
how this is, you know, if you could just imagine this, then, you know, how great would all of this be? And this is like, hey, give me something super obscure and write a huge blog on it. It's like, this is good. I mean, yes. I literally, a friend, we call him the professor. He is a professor, and he wasn't aware of it. And someone had said, you know, what are you doing with like students cheating? He's like, what do you mean? They're like, with ChatGPT. He's like, what, like a chat? Like that? And I was like, what's the most recent thing your students had to write on? And he said some crazy like psychologist thing. And I was like, right. It's like, write an article on that thing. And I was like, there you go. He's like, what's happening right now? He's like, what am I looking at right now? He's like, this is like, is somebody typing this? It's like, no, that's the future. Yeah. He's just like, I don't, like, it was so in his face magic, yeah, that it was just like, I don't understand how incredible what I'm looking at is. And it's, I genuinely think, like, I'd bet the house on this changes the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we're going to be smart with it. I think we're going to make sure it doesn't change the world for the bad. It changes it for the good. And I think, so from my mind, and I use ChatGPT in other areas of the business. But it's a tool. It's an aid. It's not a replacement for people. It's not a replacement for everything else. It is an aid. And we have to understand that it's not perfect. If you ask ChatGPT to create a blog for you, you've got to proofread it. You need to check the sources. So
sources, especially.
Exactly.
Did you hear the lawyer got debarred? He had ChatGPT write a brief and gave it to a judge, didn't proofread it, and ChatGPT just invented sources. And the judge was like, you just gave me something with invented sources. And they realized he used ChatGPT to do the entire brief, and he got debarred from it.
Yeah.
So yes, I think that's really how people need to view it.
Yeah.
Is that it's a tool, and will some jobs disappear because of it? I mean, that's probably going to happen, because if you can just generate things like for free that are just as good as you were getting paying somewhat.
You need the people to use the tool.
Yeah. That's the piece. Yeah,
that's it. And so I think that if anybody's smart, they won't, you won't try to not use GPT. You'll try to embrace it. Like all the technology, you've got to learn to embrace it and bring it into your firm, however it can help. But I wouldn't expect it to replace people within our business.
Mm.
Yeah.
I see it more like a tool to increase the capacity.
Yes.
For the amount of work that people can do, and not over, you know, not like that overworked, like, oh great, now you're giving me more work to do.
Right.
But it's just the same output can be generated with less input, because a whole lot of the fluff is taken out of it. And I mean, especially in like the technology space with coding and things like that. I mean, we were discussing before the recording that, like, I have a background in it, but I do not specifically know Python. And in order to work in like a no code environment like Zapier, like, it needs to be done in Python specifically. So I don't know specifically how to do it, but I can tell it, like, hey, if you're a person that I'm talking to, this is what I'm trying to do. If this were something like C++ or Java or something, like, do this, but make that Python. And they're like, okay, here you go. Copy, paste it. And it's like, it worked. And I was like, what else can you do?
Well, I want it to. And so at Client Hub, our upcoming features here, is which I'm the one I'm most excited about, is what's called Magic Meetings. And so imagine you can create a Zoom-like meeting. You just click a button within Client Hub in your account. It opens up a meeting. You can have a video meeting with your client. But like some of the other tools you see, like Fireflies, it will actually go ahead and transcribe that meeting. It will create a meeting summary, and then it will make recommendations, such as, you know, during the discussion with the client asked you for year-end financials. Then the ChatGPT, the Magic Meeting feature, will recommend to you, hey, you told the client you would get them year-end financials. Would you like me to create a job in your workflow for that, so you don't forget to do it? And then during the meeting, you told the client, hey, I need these three things so I can generate them, financials. It will remind you to create a client task for the client. So, and it will summarize the meeting. So we just, as accountants, we're crunching numbers. We don't have time to, we usually write things down on a pad. And if anybody's like me, you write it down on the pad and you get off the phone, you're like, okay, which client was this for? And then you're like, I can't even read that. I can't read that.
Right.
Writing a soul
horror, yeah. So. There's like stars next to a note that, like, you don't remember what that it's like. There's like big stars next to it, and it's like monster under the bed. And it's like, I remember that was supposed to be important because I put stars next to it. What does this mean?
And
I have no context.
Who was it for? Oh,
yeah. No. Yeah. And then you get an email 1 month later. What happened to the monster under the bed project? And it's like, oh yeah, we completely did not finish that, did we?
And so, you know, we can just, I mean, our imagination, we are just looking at so many different things that we can do with ChatGPT. to help accountants be more productive and more efficient. Like we said, I can't even think of the word. I am amazed to see how many accountants and bigger firms have no formal workflow solution. And the reason they don't have that is because they just don't know where to start. And so tools like ChatGPT in Client Hub are going to help them figure out what is that starting point? What is the best way to develop this? And you could create a job. I can imagine you create a job in ChatGPT. Let's say you create a job for, month-end bank reconciliations, where ChatGPT might say, we recommend you add client tasks into this job to automate the client tasks to request those bank statements from your client. So, because a lot of people don't think about that type of automation, we can automate that right now in Client Hub. We can automate the creation of the client tasks, but we don't have a system that recommends to you, hey, you might want to add these client tasks in there.
I think part back on what you were saying with like people, organizations not having the workflow, we recognized, and so 2020 COVID happens. We had at the time, maybe 20 employees and everybody overnight has to go remote. So the technology part wasn't that big of an obstacle. Like we'd already helped a ton of our other clients do that anyway. So it wasn't really something that was like a huge problem technology wise, but getting it to the workflow and like everybody that already worked there already knew how to do their job.
Right.
But then we start hiring new people and it's like, okay, do your job. And you know, our training before was like, all right, you just sit with Nick and just like, you'll eventually get it after some time. And then it was like, we can't just only do that anymore. So the going remote forced us to put these workflows together and like really hone in on this is our process for everything, which helped us as a company because now the amount of work we can take on per employee has skyrocketed to when we had 50 employees at our peak. Like our revenue numbers this year are with only 14 full-time employees is like 90% that of what we did with 50 full-time employees.
Right.
And I mean, you could imagine the profitability when you have a workforce that is one third of what we had before and the politics, overhead, bureaucracy, we had six offices, all that stuff. And now that we have a streamlined workflow with more customers than we had then, it's like, oh, we should have done this ages ago.
Right. Right. And I did it. I went completely remote with my firm in 2006. I went
way before.
I went semi-remote. So we had an office where the team worked in the office, but we didn't go on site to any clients and we used couriers and express mail to get information. I was in Massachusetts at the time. I went to Florida. I was like, now it's got to be fully remote. And so you don't have, not only can you be more effective, right, and more efficient, because people now don't have travel time back and forth to work. They've got more flexibility in the times that they work. You're not paying for a brick and mortar. It's amazing how much more profitable what we can be. But you're right, COVID, so many firms weren't there in 2003 or 2006 like I was, and they had to figure it out. And we saw a huge boom in signups of Client Hub at that point because people were like, okay, now we've got to figure out how to communicate with our clients and communicate internally and make sure all the work gets done.
Yeah. And these are the kind of things that like, we just kind of, we go into business, especially someone that was like public going private and like the smaller ones that are just like figuring it out where the workflow, it's in your head and you know your clients and you already know it. And then trying to get that to somebody else.
Yeah.
If it's just one employee, it's like, okay, look, here's a thing that I know that now you know, and doing this, here's another thing I know. And just over time, okay, you figure it out. But then when things start ramping up, if you don't have that process in place, and I mean, for how much time and energy you have to invest in a new employee, and God forbid it doesn't work out right away.
Yeah. And it's easier to, I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing a trend right now of brand new firms that are coming to us and saying, I don't have any clients yet, or I only have 5 clients. And we want to get all of our ducks in a row now.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait. So they're investing the time and the money into starting their businesses the right way, instead of kind of scraping by and trying to figure it out later. Because it's, you know, once you've got 50 clients and let's say 50 clients and 5 staff, even at that point, it's really hard to start getting that information down.
Yeah.
I did have a tip for a firm. One of the things we used, and this was quite a few years ago, is we said, turn on Zoom and go ahead and, you know, narrate all your work as you're doing it. And that way you've got a video of what you're doing on screen. You can send that off to somebody on Fiverr. You can use some, now you can use some really great tools that will go ahead and transcribe that. And that's a really good starting point for your workflow, especially if there are some nuances about, you know, the work that you need to do for a specific client.
Yeah, we actually, when we went through a recent round of hiring, we told ChatGPT, here's our software stack.
Yep.
Now make training bullet points for each thing. And then we just did a recording of, here's how you use this software. And then we're referencing the bullet points that were created. So Perfect. We have training like looms, basically. So here's the screen share of what's going on. I'm narrating what I'm doing. Here's one of the weird things. Like, you can't, like in our CRM Podio, like you can't do emails that have 2 periods in it. It's just one of those things you learn it. Like anyone whose email address is like at ny.rr.com with 2 periods is just like, nope, doesn't exist. It's broken.
Bizarre.
Yeah. But like you learn these, you know, when I'm first like looking into, okay, is this going to be a good product for us? It's like, by the way, anybody that has these weird email addresses doesn't count as a client. So type in their phone number. But then you also have to learn the phone number can't have any formatting in it. So then we come back around to ChatGPT and Python. And anytime somebody puts in a phone number, make sure that it's this format. Yeah. Anytime they have an email, make sure it's this format. And
that's a nice thing, because again, then you don't have to go back. Once you can do that and automate that process, you don't have to worry about going back and cleaning up your database. Because that is a nightmare. Nobody thinks about those things going in.
Mm-mm.
They think about it after the fact, after they get this big, huge, you know, like a ball of yarn that's all tangled up.
Yeah. Like I looked back, you know, our journey. And so now we're in year 9.5, and it started just me in my living room and like employee number one, just, hey, this is how you do this. And then, you know, as it grew, it's like we had to figure out stuff as we went along and get new tools and new software and things. And, you know, when I was starting off, it was like, all right, I've got a Google sheet that has each customer's name, phone number, and every single note of every single ticket in cell D2. and it's like, I mean, this kind of works. And you can also like export your entire company. That's not that secure. And so then it's like, we need a CRM, and it's like, oh, Salesforce. And it's like, it's $1 million and you're bootstrap. And it's like, let's go this way.
Yeah.
But like looking back though, it's like, if we had just started with a foundational something, decided to invest in one product and then just built on that, as opposed to here's a shiny thing. And I'm a recovering appaholic. I used to get an app for everything.
Yeah.
Everything gets an app, every single thing. And it's like,
but here's the thing though, that was, I mean, I remember back at the big, and I don't want to call it the .com days. I want to call it the app days, where, especially for the accounting professionals, like you would go to conferences and you'd see like all this desktop stuff. And then you'd start seeing, you know, these cloud-based solutions. Like I was using cloud-based solutions before the word cloud even, you know, came out, back in 2003, PayCycle. It was the first cloud app I ever used. But back then it was just a web app.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went through this whole process of, and I don't remember if you remember Doug Sleater, and Doug used to talk about chunkification. And I loved that terminology. And he used to say, go out and get all these great apps and you can build your own tech stack. And that was awesome because you could pick these best of breed things. But then all of a sudden, now you've got a client and you're using 20 different technologies. You're using this for receipts and this for fetch and this for bill pay and this for whatever else you're using, and you go get overload. So I think now we're seeing a little bit of a transformation where people are looking more for the all-in-ones. Mm. By the way, there's no such thing as an all-in-one.
Single pane of glass. It's the greatest lie.
I had just last week an accountant that sent me an email with, we need our practice management system to do these 20 things. And I'm like, there's no practice management solution that's going to do everything you need it to do. You need to figure out what's really important for your firm. I think we hit on all the important points. You know, we have the client communication, collaboration, client tasks. We have secure file sharing. We have that internal workflow. And so e-signatures you can do with DocuSign. So, you know, how often do you, if you're an accountant, how often do you get an e-signature from a client? Once, two, maybe three times a year? Do you really need that to be in your practice management solution? Maybe not.
And like, now too, when we're evaluating apps and things, it's like, if there's at least an API that we can get things to talk with each other, mm-hmm. but part of the issues with having all these different apps is you run into problems with data integrity of, I have two conflicting pieces of information on two different spots.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's the right one?
Yeah.
And so for someone like me, that's literally been here since day one, it's like, oh yeah, that was in 2017. During that time, Ryan was working here and Ryan would always notate things this way. So, you know, in your training, just remember if it's 2017 that Ryan does it this weird way. And so I've spent like the last couple weeks actually going through an overhaul of re-everythinging our data to make it just clear, uniform, concise, and without, like, I tried to get it as much as I could. And mind you, we're talking like 15,000 records.
Yeah.
So it's not just like go through one by one by one, like trying to get data integrity across all those different apps with all that different information. Like, it's very, very difficult. And I look back and it's like, you know, in the early days, if I had just picked something that like did a lot of this stuff instead of.
I learned that. So I knew when we started, I said, as soon as we start getting customers, we have to have a way to keep track of them. And a Google Sheet probably for the first few months while I was vetting out CRM systems. And so, you know, when I was looking for a CRM system, I'm okay. Does it fit our needs? What does it have for integrations? And that was the important thing. And what is the cost of it? I mean, again, you're starting a business. That does take into consideration, but you also have to understand the benefit and the value long-term of that technology. So we kind of went mid-range. We went with Pipedrive, which I love. It's got tons of integrations, does just about everything we need to do. And because I have a little bit of OCD or a lot of bit of OCD, my records are really, really, really in good shape. And I figured, you know, I made sure I had learned the software as well as I could, got the records in there. And, you know, every once in a while we run into, hey, there could be a duplicate. And we run into that. We merge the duplicates and we got it pretty clean. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like clean data, it's funny because our CRM, and for better or worse, so Fresh Sales, and I thought that single pane of glass, because Fresh Desk is how we do our ticketing.
Yeah.
And Fresh Caller was our phones. And we thought, well, for sure, we assumed Fresh Sales would integrate with Fresh Caller because it's the same company, and it doesn't. So that's a whole, we had to build our own, whatever. But they'll tell you that there's a duplicate, but they don't just have a way to automatically merge them.
Yeah.
And so the amount of, and thank God ChatGPT, like we can have it do like queries before it even actually takes the data, puts it in. But having something like a Pipedrive, HubSpot, or Salesforce that just integrates with everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I wish I had known that then. And right now we're the next thing after I have this data cleanup, which I think I'm like 98% finished. And since we are in St. Louis and my children are not here, I can actually get stuff done. So yeah, maybe finished tomorrow. Okay, so then. We covered a ton of topics. We went way longer than I thought we would, but it was great having you on here. Judy, where can people find more about you?
Yeah. So of course, LinkedIn, Judy, it's JUDIE _ McCarthy. Also, I'm on Twitter. Facebook, you can go to Client Hub. We're at Client Hub app. And you could go to our website at clienthub.app to learn more and book a demo and learn more about our client collaboration and internal workflow management solution with all its magic features.
And you could also go back. When was our first recording? 2 years ago ish?
Yeah.
It was a while ago. So it's great to see, you know, the company's grown and all the things that you're doing. And I love the chat GPT topic. And thanks so much for being on the show.
And I'll keep you up to date with it.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Thanks for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I hope you enjoyed today's guest. And remember, you can go to tech4accountants.net/podcast to book a complimentary IT audit conducted by a technician certified by the AICPA in cybersecurity. Again, that's tech4accountants.net/podcast.